Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
So the markets did something to the bed yesterday. It was just, it's not the kind of thing you want done to the bed. You don't want that, because inflation has gone nowhere. Except, of course, up. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. The Dow was down over 400 points yesterday. And it's been a good run. Oh, last couple months have been, you have felt better about 401k and a whole host of things. And one bad day does not mean the end of civilization. But the numbers yesterday from the Consumer Price Index leave no question as to whether or not inflation is here to stay. It isn't going anywhere. And no matter what Joe Biden says, it's not reality.
Well, I do stand by my prediction that before the year is out, there'll be a rate cut. This may delay it a month or so. I'm not sure of that. We don't know what the Fed is going to do for certain. But look, we have dramatically reduced inflation from 9% down to close to 3%. We're in a situation where we're better situated than we were when we took office, where inflation was skyrocketing. And we have a plan to deal with it, whereas
inflation is still skyrocketing, but I want to get into this. We're better off than when I took office. You're going to start hearing a lot more of this because the political left sees this as a tool for the election. And here's the argument that they're making. Look what Joe Biden has done for us. There are things on the shelves. You know, when he took office, you couldn't even get toilet paper. Now, I ask you, in a world of dishonest statements, that's near the top, right? It is true there were supply chain issues because of COVID. And it is true that there was hoarding that took place because of COVID. But it's not like Joe Biden waved a wand and everything got better. It took years. It took people no longer trying to hoard toilet paper. As a matter of fact, when COVID was in the rear view, they tried to bring the toilet paper back, the unused stuff, and say, hey, I bought this a year ago. I didn't need it. I'd like my money back. And stores were like, are you nuts? You bought a pallet of toilet paper. Nobody else got it. Now you want your money back? Go sit down, because that's what you do right before you use this stuff. Biden had nothing to do with toilet paper being back on a shelf. If you want to argue that Biden solved supply chain issues, you would ask the following question. You mean when it was easy? You mean when Pete Buttigieg wasn't on some kind of paternity leave thing and Chasten Buttigieg wasn't pretending to have given birth? That picture in the hospital bed, sorry, creepy, weird people playing around. I'm sure they take parenting seriously, but when it came to that photo, men don't have babies. It was weird. It was creepy. But then again, so is Chasten Buttigieg. Kids should pledge allegiance to a gay pride flag? Case rested. But this is the argument they're going to make. You couldn't even get toilet paper when Joe Biden got to office. And look at everything now. You got toilet paper coming out of here? Well, the joke kind of writes itself. And standing by a prediction that there will be a rate cut before the end of the year, yes, there could be a rate cut. Could be. But you want to talk about pushing false hope? You want to talk about the administration continuing to push the idea that balance sheets at homes are strong and the credit issue isn't a problem and household incomes are good? Yeah. Your mind, your reality knows better. Things are not great. Know that going into the summer. This is just one of the things I've got. I got a lot. I'm Tony Katz.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder, watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. You know it makes me feel good.
There is worry, there is panic, there is fear. I mean, I don't think that's anything new to anybody. There's sometimes worry and panic and fear. But this, from Ro Khanna, this is next level. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Ro Khanna is a congressman out of California and a progressive. I mean, A member of the Progressive Caucus, very, very much on the left. The only thing he has done that it sounds rational, he has been very clear about a support of free speech, even for speech that you hate. He has not been one of these people who believes that you should go around silencing others. And I can appreciate that, and I can say well done on that, even while disagreeing on just about everything else. Ro Khanna sent a letter that he never sent. He wrote a letter, shared it with CBS News, and the letter is to Nicole Shanahan. Nicole Shanahan is the running mate of Robert Kennedy Jr. He's running as an independent. And Robert Kennedy Jr., at last look, was pulling 9.6% of the vote. So you have this guy who is a progressive, is clearly taking the votes from Joe Biden, not from Donald Trump. And he's at 9.6 overall. The latest poll that I have is there's two. There's a general election poll that shows Kennedy only getting 3%. This is from Economist YouGov. But there's a North Carolina Quinnipiac poll that shows Kennedy getting 12%. 12%. Now, I bring this up because this is concerning to the Biden team. I can also show you two polls where Biden is beating Trump in a general election poll by 4. This according to Reuters Ipsos. I can show you a Minnesota poll where Biden is ahead of Trump by 2. But that's within a margin of error. And it's Minnesota where Biden's going to win anyway. You've got Kennedy polling with some numbers that have Democrats worried. They are worried that this is going to pull in great measure, and the states that matter, because remember, we're not talking about popular vote anything. We're talking about electoral victories. So you have to look at Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, places where Biden only won by 10,000 votes. Now you take that away, that's great opportunity for Trump. Democrats realize this. Progressives realize this and wrote a letter to Nicole Shanahan. saying even Trump himself and other members of his team have admitted that an RFK Jr. ticket will help his reelection. While you may have fair disagreements on the Democratic Party's platform, it is clear that a second term for Trump would be disastrous for climate and undo the work of President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, the most significant action Congress has taken on clean energy and climate change in our nation's history. Appealing to RFK because he is a climate change freak. This is a guy who a decade ago said that if you don't believe, you should be in jail. I don't believe he has changed that much from that position. But Ro Khanna going after that position specifically, climate this, climate that, at least admitting that the Inflation Reduction Act was never about reducing inflation, and we've seen that in the numbers. What's stunning about this letter is he didn't send it to Nicole Shanahan. He talked about it on CBS News before sending it. That's a, I don't know if that's a power play or just weird, because it would seem to me that's very, very bad form. Outrageously bad form. Really insulting bad form. That's what that is. But it does show, regardless of the form, it shows the panic that now exists on a regular daily basis within the party. For anything you want to say about the Republican Party being at levels of ridiculous, you'd probably be right about that. But don't think the Democratic Party, they've got it all lined up. They've got real concerns. Meanwhile, in Idaho, we see things that we will never see in the state of Indiana. Idaho House Bill 538 prevents K-12 educators and college professors from, and I quote, knowingly and intentionally, unquote, addressing minors by a name or pronoun that does not align with their sex assigned at birth without written consent from the parents. Translation, you cannot force pronouns on people. There will be no compelled speech in the state of Idaho. Won't see it here. Now, I have interviewed all of the Republican candidates for governor, and we have it all at WIBC.com. I did a sit-down with every single one of them. It's time for me to start breaking down what it is I saw and what it is that I see. There are two things that I know. Someone is going to get this nomination, and Jennifer McCormick for the Democrats has not shown herself to be a strong candidate at all. She was the superintendent of public instruction. I don't think she has a good conversation about education. And she has decided to take up the mantra of abortion, abortion, abortion on every single level. And I just don't think outside of Indianapolis, it's, and maybe Lake County, it's going to really connect. I leave that there. There is not one single breakout Republican. Not a one. And it is, what is today? Hold on a second. Let me carry the, April 11th. It's April 11th. And there is not, less than 30 days to the primary, there is not one breakout candidate. And I would say anecdotally that while Mike Braun had all the momentum and all the name ID and certainly the polling, he hasn't done anything to make people say, oh, yeah, he really is the clear favorite. I would say that to his team eye to eye. No one has. None of them. And so we're clear, no Jamie Rittenhour, you haven't. And no Curtis Hill, you haven't. But allow me to put an asterisk on the Curtis Hill thing. I'll get into that.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
The next.
schizophrenic psycho, yeah. Maybe I'm the one.
So here's the update.
Maybe I'm the one.
I am seriously considering the 10-year party. Psycho. But I have weird reservations of not throwing a party for Matt Bear. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Because I could decide at any second to have a party just by saying place, location, there will be cake. And we can do this. We can do this because June is 10 years with WIBC. 10 years in Indianapolis. It's gone by like that. By the way, that expression, it's gone by like that. I'm hearing that a lot lately. And I don't know how many people this happens to. My wife has had this conversation. Fingers Malloy, who I do Eat, Drink, Smoke with, has this conversation. Everything goes so fast. Time goes so fast. The kids grow up so fast. Maybe I'm different, and maybe I'm fooling myself. I don't think that that is true. But I understand the feeling and the sentiment. But I guess I'm asking, do people take the time to slow down? Because as I was discussing this with my wife, you know, sure, the kids are older, college and all these things, and life is happening. But let me give you an example of just the things that have happened while we have lived in this house. And just off the memory started going through it. And I do this for myself as an exercise to say, you know what, maybe it hasn't actually been that fast. I think I look at the idea of, oh, it's all going so fast. Oh, they're growing up so fast. As somehow you've missed your life as opposed to recognizing what you lived in it. I think it's a negative vibe to state, look what I've missed, as opposed to failing to recognize what it is you did. I think it's helpful to slow things down. I think it's helpful to kind of take a little bit of stock in the fact that maybe it hasn't gone that fast. Maybe you were there for it. Now, if you go through it and you're like, I wasn't there for it, that's a thing. And you could either you could either just be somebody who engages regret and never does anything about it, or you can actually start making changes in your life to do something about it. Just as an aside. But as for the party, it's been 10 years. One should have a party, but then you're the guy throwing a party for yourself, and that seems weird. But I don't feel good about doing anything if we're not doing anything for Matt Bear, who's 15 years at the station, and clearly there should be some kind of, I don't know, fun run. Whatever he would do to stay in shape. There should be some kind of crunch fest. Everybody should come to the circle and do crunches with Matt Bear.
I don't think I'm doing
crunches.
It, Tony.
Matt,
I
do you do crunches?
Yeah, I do crunches. Yeah, I do the whole thing. I don't think I want to celebrate my 15-year anniversary. I'm not sure about that. It's not a thing with me. I'm not big on birthdays. I don't do a lot of holiday stuff. I mean, I appreciate it, and everybody's really cool, but I'm not thinking that's something that I do. I mean, I don't know.
All right. If that's the way you feel, I will not bring it up again to you.
You can bring it up anytime. Maybe you can convince me.
No. You're dead to me.
Right.
But I'm no longer going to feel bad if we do something for the 10-year as a way of thanking the people of Indianapolis. I'm not going to feel bad about it.
No, come on.
I won't do
it.
No,
you hex me with that. No, I would really enjoy celebrating your 10-year anniversary. That I would enjoy doing.
Oh, you're not invited.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. No. I refuse to share the spotlight.
Right. I forgot that.
Because then you're going to be like, who wants to do some crunches? I'm going to be like, you son of a bitch. And that's going to be a thing.
Hanging knee raises.
Wait, would I call you racist?
Hanging knee raises.
Racist. Oh.
And no.
See, you said hanging knee raises, and I thought you said something racist. But in both cases, I'm correct.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
We celebrate Matt Bear every day. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Much got made of Tucker Carlson's interview on X with a pastor out of Bethlehem. And there is no doubt that much got made of it, rightfully so. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Just like much got made of Candace Owens and her split from Daily Wire and her now seemingly never-ending fight with Ben Shapiro over Daily Wire. Israel. Couple things to get to here. Candace Owens has never been and will never be as smart as Tucker Carlson. I've never understood the passion towards Candace, but that doesn't mean I have to. For people out there, she was engaged and she was, to them, honest, and she was fighting back, and fighting back is a very, very important thing. For me, just never my cup. Never my cup of tea, and that's quite all right. On the Israel conversation, it's clear that she has her issues, and I've seen this in a lot of people. And as I've said of Tucker, it's clear he has his. Just like Congressman Thomas Massie has his. And there are others. But I think that this whole fight with Ben Shapiro seems, to me, outrageously contrived. Do they like each other? Do they not like each other? I didn't know their relationship before. I don't know their relationship now. And I've got things outside of just the Israel conversation with Candace Owens that made me say, oh, no, thanks. I'm not interested. I mean, I never paid attention, but when she told me that, all the Muslims have to live in one quarter of Jerusalem because there's the Armenian quarter, the Jewish quarter, Christian quarter, Muslim, that was when I said, proud to know nothing, and I put it in a drawer. But I'm also not a guy who looks at Daily Wire and says this is the gold standard by any stretch of the imagination. It's agreements and disagreements like you have with me, like friends have with each other. It's the real world. None of this on a pedestal nonsense. And neither is Tucker on a pedestal. Not at all. He had a conversation with this pastor about how Israel is treating Christians. Interesting conversation, but you're having it with somebody who states quite clearly that they live in occupied Palestine. You had a conversation with a guy who says he lives in occupied Palestine, and I'm supposed to listen to him on a conversation about Israel? Why in the world would you choose this as the subject of the interview? That seems like something that should be explained out. And if we are going to engage the idea of how Israel treats Christians while utilizing as the backdrop Bethlehem, as I know it, is not under Israeli control. Bethlehem is under, quote-unquote, Palestinian control. Bethlehem was a place that was 80% Christian and is now 80% Muslim. Christians, as has been reported, in Bethlehem live in fear. I have no idea what the hell Tucker is doing. Can he do the interview? Yes. Can I notice the issues with the interview subject? Absolutely. This is Vladimir Putin all over again. Can he do the interview? Absolutely. Did I defend it here? Absolutely. Is it clear that you put out videos, that Tucker put out videos that made it seem like Russia's great? Yes. Was it weird? You bet. Was it propaganda? I say so. Was he wrong? Absolutely. Does Tucker have an Israel problem? Which is to say, does Tucker have a problem with Jews? He's got something. An undeniable something. This interview is nutty. Nutty. We're seeing, for me, way too much of this. This pseudo-intellectualism of, well, you have to understand what Israel is. In no way is this not support of Hamas. In support of Israel destruction. This is the conservative viewpoint. I reject that. And over the next weeks and months, I'm going to prove that. Todd Rokita is leading the way on a lawsuit. I believe we've said things like that before. The Department of Justice has no authority to dictate to the states in matters that concern their sovereign right to ensure safe, secure, and free elections. Oh, well, okay then. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. There are 16... Is it 16 attorneys general led by Todd Rokita writing a letter to the AG Merrick Garland criticizing his comments from March? He was there at the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Selma, Alabama, and claimed that democracy is under attack by, and I'm quoting here, discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot. I'm not quite sure what it is that he is referring to there. Are you arguing that someone cannot get on the ballot? Well, Tony, look what happened in the state of Indiana with John Rust. Change the laws. Change them. Change the laws. What are you discussing here? Once you're done complaining about it, and just maybe, let's be on the same page. Once everyone is done moaning and bitching about it, change it. Has anybody talked about changing it? Has anybody put out legislation saying, let's change this? It's too difficult to get on the ballot in Indiana. Let's make it easier to get on the ballot in Indiana. Should there be any regulation to be getting onto a ballot in Indiana? Do you even have to live in Indiana? Do you have to prove residency in Indiana? Oh, so there are things that we think somebody should do. Great. Let's go over them and then let's get it done. What is the complaining? The complaining is nonsense. As a matter of fact, that noise is super annoying. But the states decide for the state. I don't want to hear anything from the feds. The people who want to hear the federal government get more involved are people who believe that you should have less of a say in your own life. I call these people weird. Now, I call them other things, but this is radio. If you catch me out and about amongst the people, yes, I do get out of the house. You might hear me say something about these people. The states decide. I don't care what Merrick Garland wants. And I'm not interested in what some radical thinks the state should be forced to do. You have no idea what I think you should be forced to do. Is that the way? Point is, I don't want to force you to do anything, but I do want to be left alone. And you weirdos think you should be able to, like, impose your will on the rest of us. Weirdos. Garland launched the Justice Department's Election Threats Task Force. This happened in March, doubling the number of lawyers in the voting section of the Civil Rights Division. Well, that's going to solve it, because as you know, the lawyers always make everything better. Todd Rokita is leading the way here. I did reach out to get him on the show. I didn't hear back from him. It's possible he didn't see it. I will try again to break this down. The popcorn moment is coming up. Tony Katz, 93.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
WIBC, good morning.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
There has to come a moment where everybody just gets tired of hearing Joe Biden gaffes. Right? There has to come a moment when everybody says, could I please not hear one more of these things? Because they're so often, they're daily. Tony, don't play any more of them. We don't need to hear any more gaffes, because the man makes so many gaffes.
Name me one.
Well, I can name you many, sir. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. I can name you many, many gaffes. So many that one would think that you have what is known as a problem. Like a real problem. So I debate whether to share it with you. And then I immediately said, debate over, I'm sharing it with you. The popcorn moment, let's go, let's go, let's go. It's the story you need to hear to believe. Then grab your popcorn, because there is more. I bring it up because anybody who thinks that this does not have an effect on the election is out of their mind. And one of the things that we are witnessing as we get into this election year is what is actually moving an electorate. So I've been reaching out, for example, to friends who do radio in Indiana, right? Speaking with some other radio hosts, what are they hearing? What are they seeing? Who's really kind of moving the votes? Who's gathering excitement? I'm going to go over some of that in just a little bit. But so many times we're told that what we see with our own eyes isn't real. Somehow that what we know to be true is not true, and how dare we notice it? How dare we notice that we have an issue at the southern border, we have an issue with illegal immigrants, and they are illegal immigrants, not undocumented. So bigoted is to say the term undocumented. Oh my goodness gracious. I do not understand these racists who want to claim that people who have broken the law are just undocumented. These bigots, these hateful shrews who want to say that if you came into the country illegally, the problem is you just don't have a piece of paper. It is so hateful to people who have worked the system and have come to the country legally. It's beyond me. And I don't know why people like Representative Ocasio-Cortez or Congressman Andre Carson or former Speaker Pelosi, I don't know why they hate brown people so much, but they do. They do. I don't get it myself. Now, that twist of conversation I enjoy tremendously, and I have no plans of stopping. Why? Exclusive poll from Axios. Latino support for border wall deportations jumps. Well, no crap. Is that right? People who are in the country legally, people who are citizens of the United States, don't like lawbreakers. Film at 11. The only people shocked by this are people who serve on the Indianapolis City County Council. Everybody else totally gets it. No. There are six Republicans on the council, and they are really speaking their mind. Guys, I am looking at you. Really? No one has anything to say about this communist Jesse Brown? And what is this whole thing with him and calling the police on a black person? There's a story out there that one of the citizen journalists has, and I haven't had a chance to read it in full yet, but could someone explain that to you? I would love that explained to me. The percentage of Latinos who say they support building a border wall and deporting all undocumented immigrants has jumped 10 points since 2021. This is an Axios Ipsos Latino poll that is in partnership with Telemundo. The finding suggests that former President Trump's calls for more border security and perhaps his anti-immigrant rhetoric are registering even among people who may have ties to immigration, which means there is no anti-immigration rhetoric. It's we're sick and tired of lawbreakers. Who's we? Oh, you know, rational folk. Not people who want to reward illegality to tear down the system. People who recognize that you should have a system and you should have laws and laws should be followed. And we should engage the Liberty Society with as few regulations as possible to allow the maximum amount of freedom as possible without chaos. That's liberty. Liberty being different from freedom. Of course, we've always been correct on the subject. We've been honest about the subject. Over the past couple days, I've been doing this thing about these people who want to say, well, you have to call them undocumented. No person is illegal. It is such hateful talk. I'm surprised the left allows it. I love that turn there. I really do. And now I've got this polling. So now we've got it all. And the left, in many ways, can't stand that you should point out reality. Reality is not what should be seen. Reality is the issue. You want reality? This is reality for the people who want to reelect and run to reelect Joe Biden.
Elect me. I'm in the 20th century. 21st century.
The man does not know what century he's in. Elect me, I'm in the 20th century. I'm not even sure how that conversation came up. But so we are clear, the idea that Joe Biden doesn't know what century he is in is just another example of what we know to be true, that Joe Biden doesn't know what century he is in. The gaffes are one thing. It is when the gaffes build on other gaffes, and you see again and again and again and again that he has no connection whatsoever to reality, that he thinks he's talking to Mitterrand, the former president of France, who's been dead for decades. And they're going to tell me about his vigor and his strength. No, not me. They're going to tell you about his vigor and his strength and his mind, and he is so probing with his questions.
Elect me. I'm in the 20th century, 21st century.
Can we discuss how old he sounds? How frail he sounds? No, can't discuss. You can't. They can't. We certainly can. And we certainly will. This is just one of the many, many, many reasons I state that the Democrats will not run this man for the election. It will change. It will change at the convention. I mean, honestly, how could it not?
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Damn this traffic jam, how I hate to be late. It hurts my motor to go so slow. Damn, this traffic jam. Time to get home.
36 televised games. That is a lot of pressure on Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. The women's game will never be as popular as the men's game. Overall, I think that is an acceptable statement. And certainly some people would say that Caitlin Clark challenges that. Take a look at what happened with the women's final getting more viewers than the men's final. That's real. And I've had some people say to me, well, Tony, the women's final was on broadcast and the men's final was on cable. Sorry, that dog won't hunt. 18.9 million people watched Caitlin Clark. That's a thing. And it doesn't get denied. And it also puts an end to this idea that you have to do things in prime time. 9:20 p.m. Eastern, ridiculous. You could do a game at 5:30 in the afternoon. Everybody will reset their schedule. It's totally fine. The only cultural advantage to living on the West Coast is that you can watch Monday Night Football and then get a good night's sleep. That's it. And the one clear advantage of living on the West Coast, football starts at 10 a.m. on a Sunday. The day is over, and you can still, like, go out to dinner and spend time with family and get some sleep. So we should be clear that's all they have. I am curious about how the Indiana Fever manage expectations. Because they have the first pick in the draft. Caitlin Clark is in the draft. They're going to take Caitlin Clark. There is no other. What was it with the Colts? They took Trev Alberts as opposed to whom? And Mel Kiper lost his mind. All right. It would be worse than that. But managing expectations of the fans, managing expectations of the team, of other players, where Caitlin Clark is going to get all this attention and trying to get some of the attention off of her. I mean, now you got it. You're into a thing where you're no longer just talking about women's basketball. You're talking about how a team functions and how a fan base functions. These things can easily fall apart and you can have a mess. So I am very curious, and I'd love to know. I did reach out to somebody I know over there. I would love to know from the Fever, like from just a management perspective, how do you manage it all? How do you manage the fans? How do you manage the media? How do you manage the team and the players? Because they're going to see one person get all this attention, and they're going to say, what, I'm not on the team too? But that doesn't happen? You're right. Jealousies never happen. 36 TV appearances. That also tells us that Caitlin Clark is the draw. People want to see this phenom shoot. Now, can the WNBA, just like college women's basketball, can they hold on to this possible newfound attraction, or is it all the circus goes wherever Caitlin goes? I think it's the latter, but we'll find out. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. WIBC.com, you will find my interviews one-on-one with the gubernatorial candidates on the Republican side. Tony Katz, that's me, by the way, 93 WIBC. That is the station. Producer Carl behind the board, Matt Baer in the WIBC Traffic Center, Ryan Hedrick and Kurt Darling in the WIBC Newsroom. You can find everything at WIBC.com, including the podcast. You can get it. You can subscribe. It's good for you. It builds character. Did the interviews. They're all right there. Jamie Rittenour and Curtis Hill and Eric Doden and Suzanne Crouch and Brad Chambers and Mike Braun. Did the interviews, sat down 45 minutes to an hour with each of them. I am here to tell you that none of these candidates has captured the imagination of Republicans in Indiana. Zero. This is, you can argue, anecdotal. But there is nothing that has created excitement. And nothing that has really engaged major levels of differentiation in categories that I think people are looking towards. So, for example, faith is a part of a great number of these candidates. You hear Eric Doden talking about it all the time. It is Jamie Rittenour's entire platform in how she refers to herself and discusses herself and this run. No issue with that whatsoever. That people want to utilize faith first. It is not, as I see it, what is moving the electorate first. What's moving the electorate first is property taxes. What's moving the electorate first is this a state that I can trust when it comes to, for example, LEAP? Because LEAP was poorly laid out to the people of Indiana. LEAP was laid out as, that's right, we took your land, now we're going to take your water, but don't worry, you'll love the economic benefit. LEAP was a crapping on Hoosiers. And I don't even think ideas like LEAP are bad ideas. I don't think they're bad ideas at all. But the presentation was a mess, and it's like the state said, we don't care. Mike Braun had all the momentum going in and the name ID. I have no idea that, I have no reason to believe that that is still true, except it might be residually true, and that'll squeak him over a finish line. I put forth to you that none of these candidates bring any excitement. I like Brad Chambers. I like the business concepts. I like him on a personal level. The excitement, I don't see it from him. Well, he's more in that Mitch Daniels vein. I don't disagree, but it would also help if you were Mitch Daniels. Mike Braun, I think that the election issues or the campaign issues with the fine, I think that absolutely hurts. I think that while he has been a senator for 5 years, people do see it as the Senate was too tough. Now you're going to come do this. At what moment do we think you're actually focused on Hoosier lives and not just your own career? I do think that's the way people look at it. In the interviews, I thought that coming out of the gate, Suzanne Crouch, the lieutenant governor, did the best job. I felt that way when the interview started. Not so much when the interview ended. And I commend you to go watch it. Eric Doden came across to me as a very nice dude. Like a sincere cat. I can't tell you that has connected with voters in a way that can make him compete with the money of Braun and Chambers. I think that the guy, not that he is my vote, but who I have said this from the beginning when asked privately, because I didn't want to get into it publicly at the time. I think that there is an actual groundswell for Curtis Hill. There is an activist base that is serious and sees the social issues as being on par with the economic issues. And he is the only guy who has been open and clear on the social issues. And I think that that is helping him tremendously. But the idea that that has turned into a, ooh, he's good on these things, and so maybe he'd be good on the other things, I haven't seen that. I just think that there is an activist side that is very excited about him, or very willing to be very excited about him. It's less than a month to this primary, and I have not seen where these gubernatorial candidates have broken out. I would go watch the videos. I would go watch what it is that we discussed. Property taxes, FSSA, education. They might not be exciting, but one of them needs to be the next governor. So you got a little more work to do. Find it all at WIBC.com. Aerosmith is coming to Indianapolis. I didn't know Aerosmith was still around. But people are talking about it like it's a thing. You gotta go see Aerosmith. Again, I'll state, I did not know they were still around. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Gainbridge Fieldhouse. They will be here January of 2025. They were supposed to play in October, but they didn't because Steven Tyler fractured his larynx, which I must tell you, I have no idea how that happens at all in any way, but it happened. Tickets go on sale Friday. And they are touring with the Black Crowes. Yeah, this can convince me. This can convince me. I'm not a super big concert guy. You got to be a type of person. I mean, I know who you are. Love the live music. Anywhere you can be for the live music. I like live music. I don't like all the people. I do not want, I first of all, there is no mosh pitting for Tony, just so we understand each other. I don't want to be amongst the insanity. Like, if there's a band playing and I can just kick back and listen, I'm good. I'm very, very happy with that. But the big stuff, never been who I am, never been what I'm about. But Black Crowes? Yeah, I might have to. That sounds like fun. We do get good shows, and of course, in November we get 3 days of Taylor Swift. Right before the election, we get Taylor Swift, so it's going to be all eyes on whether or not she gets political. You see, Tony, her dating Travis Kelce is just nothing more than a psyop, and this is all to get Biden reelected. Sure, whatever you say, it could be that Taylor Swift is just dating a guy and I don't have to care about it. But she might get involved in the election. She might have something to say about it. She might tell her people, hey, vote this way or vote that way. Maybe the idea is to be reaching out to people like Taylor Swift because she probably doesn't get to talk to people like you and me a lot and just be able to have a conversation about maybe there's another way to look at these things. As opposed to just dismissing her and then deciding I have to destroy her, which isn't working because look at all the sellouts. Just because she says something doesn't mean I'll agree with it. But I don't think that you go into the whole psyop, she must be destroyed. if she said something you disagree with, she could just be wrong, you know. Meanwhile, all eyes are on that. Then you've got Aerosmith coming with the Black Crowes. I like that the show's come to Indy. Hopefully it means a lot of good money and good times for the city. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Joint pain, thing of the past. Well, no, you're experiencing it right now, but it can be a thing of the past if you talk to QC Kinetics, the nation's leader in this type of pain management. We're talking about innovative treatments that deliver lasting results, natural biologics, using your body's own power to repair and restore damaged tissue. QC Kinetics, under the leadership of National Medical Director Dr. Mitchell Shinecup, with 20 years of clinical work.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
The story is not about Israel, it's about the entitlement. And it is a reminder to all the liberal white women. Don't you understand that they hate you? Liberal white women are the worst. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. The absolute worst. We're not saying we agree to disagree. They're terrible. And not only are they terrible for society, they're terrible to themselves because they lie to themselves on a daily basis. They believe somehow magically, mystically, that if they're just a little bit nicer, a little bit more woke, a little bit this, a little bit that, a little bit the other, a little bit your mother, that somehow they will be loved. They will not be loved. You will never be loved. The people that you side with, and you're standing up for this, you're standing up for that, the minute they have to destroy you, they're going to take it. And I think that bringing it back to Israel, that proves it. Nothing is more criminally insane than Jewish students on the campus of Berkeley saying, "We didn't know there was so much anti-Semitism." You didn't. I don't believe you. You went to Columbia and you didn't know that they didn't like Jews? How? Oh, you believed that you were all ideologically together. Huh. Well, that's adorable. But now you know. But this is not a story about that. This is a story about the elitism, which can be found in many, many places. But no place greater than the college campus. The college campus is loaded with elitists. And the elitists are the students who believe that because they feel something, they're allowed to say something. Feeling means correct. Now, you know, and I know, and anybody who has taught their children properly knows that your feelings don't make you correct. Very often, your feelings lie to you. Your feelings lie to you like a stripper in the VIP lounge. Oh no, baby, this next song, that's when it's really going to happen. There is no sex in the champagne room, everybody. Your feelings will lie to you. And honestly, if you spend too much time in a strip club, what are you doing? Try a date, right? She'll never love you. She will. He's never leaving his wife, and she will never love you. Producer Carl, this has really become a self-help segment. I didn't know that was the case. I didn't know that's what we were doing. But I want the people to know I'm here to help them through all of their crises. And I think it's very, very important that people see the world for what it is and not what they wish that it was. This is a story about a disruption that took place at the home of a professor. So you have this law school professor at UC Berkeley. And this law school professor, the law school dean, Erwin Chemerinsky, the wife, a law professor, Catherine Fisk, they invite third-year students to their home for a dinner to celebrate their upcoming graduation. And at this dinner, Malak Afana, who is the leader of the Berkeley Law Students for Justice in Palestine, which, by the way, if you see that on a resume, you don't hire that person. That is not somebody who can be a good lawyer. This girl gets up. They're in the backyard. She gets up, grabs a microphone, because I guess they're making statements or doing whatever. Hey, thank you for being here. All this jazz. And she starts lecturing.
Hello, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, we should understand that she has somebody videotaping her. Somebody is videotaping. They knew she was going to speak, walks right up to it. So they knew this was going to happen. And she starts talking.
Peace and blessings upon you all. Tonight, we are gathered here in the name of commemorating our final few weeks as law students.
This is my house.
Tonight is also the last night of the holy month of Ramadan, where millions of Muslims around the world fast. Not only...
The dean, Erwin Chemerinsky, is like, this is my house. Leave. Now, it didn't say, hey, what are you doing? Or anything like that. It said, leave. I thought it was pretty interesting. Went to that. But here are like all these students. There's like a good 30, 40 students, at least at this dinner. They do other dinners. And none of them are getting up to help. He is saying, leave. Then his wife grabs the microphone from her.
We have attorneys.
You hear her say, this speaker, this child, we have attorneys. This is where the elitism begins. The husband and the wife want her to stop. It's her house. Not this girl's house, their house. It's the dean and the law professor's home. She's a guest. She's got the microphone, and she's saying, we have attorneys.
Okay, you don't have to get aggressive.
Excuse me. Please leave our house. You are guests at our house.
This is our First Amendment, right?
No, this is my house.
It is. The National Lawyers Guild has informed us this is our First Amendment, right? And they are aware of this. They're not wrong.
This is my...
This law student... thinks it's her First Amendment right to take a microphone in someone's backyard and start talking. And she's got a friend with her who's telling the couple, don't be so aggressive. It's elitism. It's entitlement. It's insane. None of these people can be lawyers. No one in that crowd got up and took the microphone out of her hands, helped this older couple. No one told her, shut up and sit down. I'm eating pudding. No one? That's a cowardly generation. An elitist, entitled, cowardly generation. It's your First Amendment right to speak in my backyard? No, it's not. No, it's not. Not in any way, shape, or form. Is it your First Amendment right to speak in my backyard? Now let me give you an example of people who aren't elitist or insane. The House in Louisiana has voted 69-29 for legislation saying a driver cannot be sued for causing injury or death or damage by driving into a crowd illegally blocking a roadway if the driver feels, quote, in immediate danger of imminent death, bodily injury, or serious bodily harm. Translation? You block the roads with one of your nonsense, with one of your nonsense bullcrap blockades about oil or justice for this or Israel or, you know, being pro-Hamas, you might get run over. All those people in Indianapolis who, you know, you pulled guns on motorists. The Louisiana is saying, yeah, you're going to get run over. Don't do that. And if you take someone's home and you decide to make it your soapbox, you should expect to be punched in the face. And ladies, you too. Maybe be decent. The First Amendment gives you free speech, not in someone's backyard. That's just weird, and you know it. But entitled people believe they're entitled to everything, including anything of your...
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Of course, they want.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Dow futures down 180. NASDAQ futures down 74. Wholesale prices up 0.2. The expectation was 0.3 from the Dow Jones. In February, it was 0.6. So the core producer price index is also up 0.2. Consumer prices, of course, yesterday, much, much higher. So this is all just breaking right now. I'll have more of a breakdown of this on Tony Katz today at noon. The European Central Bank is going to hold rates right now. They'll do cuts in the future if they are appropriate, but that would involve inflation falling. Europe, in many places, in recession. Don't see it happening. So certainly don't see the rates falling here in the U.S. Joe Biden, he still wants you to believe that's going to take place.
Well, I do stand by my prediction that before the year is out, there'll be a rate cut. This may delay it a month or so. I'm not sure of that. We don't know what the Fed is going to do for certain. But look, we have dramatically reduced inflation from 9% down to close to 3%. We're in a situation where we're better.
Close to 3%? Wait. Hold on a second. Let me go back to the CPI from yesterday. Close to 3%. All items is 3.5. And less food and energy, because they consider those volatile. When you take that out, they call it core CPI. That's 3.8. But close to 3%. Sure. And if you listen to Dr. Matt Will, economist from the University of Indianapolis, if at March, in the month of March, all items are up 0.4, that would mean 4.8% because you multiply it by 12, right? So you figure it out for the year. So no matter how you do it, Joe Biden once again lying through his teeth. Just the way it is. The world is crazy. And oh, I have got some doozies for you coming up on Tony Katz today at noon. The world is crazy. We do not have to be. That is why we do the TK. That's Tony Katz. A TK Thursday Music Moment. It's brought to you by Kill a Dent Removal. KillADentRemoval.com. The hail damage repair, the paintless dent removal, door ding repair, mobile dent repair. You don't need dents and dings and nonsense in your car. You want to get that taken care of. They will come to you. Mobile dent repair from KillADentRemoval.com. KillADentRemoval.com. And what we do is we don't have to be nuts. Let's turn up the speakers, turn up the earbuds, step away from the madness for a minute. Get some music going and flowing. We're going to be okay. We're going to be good. Now, it's a rainy, crappy day, so you can't necessarily roll down the windows. But if you can, roll down the windows and turn up the speakers and step away from the nonsense and grab a drink, whatever it is. I'm not here to judge. Just drink responsibly. Don't drink and drive. All those things. I went to 1977. I went to... I went disco, and I'm not apologizing for anything 1977, Saturday Night Fever. The Bee Gees, Hit It, Carl. Guys, you see, it's going to be okay. It's going to be good. Now I'm going to give Matt Bear a second just to sit down and get himself back situated because, you know, when the Bee Gees play, Matt Bear is there. He is channeling his inner Maurice.
Yeah, I think I threw a hip, actually.
Yeah, well.
It happens, you know. What are you going to do?
I guess it does.
Need a better chair.
They hold a rally in Dearborn where people chant death to America and death to Israel. The mayor of Dearborn has to come out to say that is not the kind of city we are. We don't accept that kind of talk here. Well, you did, and odds are you'll do it again. And when confronted, bigot Rashida Tlaib of Michigan says, "Oh, I don't talk to Fox News. We can't have that."
Congresswoman Tlaib?
Fox News. I don't talk to Fox News.
At a rally in your district, people were chanting death to America. Do you condemn?
I do not talk to Fox News.
But do you condemn chants of death to America?
I don't talk to people that use racist tropes.
Why can't you just say whether or not you condemn people chanting death to America? Why?
By the way, there, I don't know if we have any bigger of a racist trope than death to Israel, death to America. That's not racist? Oh, okay. Then it's something. You'll talk to the... You see the issue.
Are you afraid to talk to Fox?
Fox News is not... Listen, using racist tropes towards my community is what Fox News is about, and I don't talk to Fox News.
Is death to America racist?
Fox News.
Is chanting death to America racist?
Talking about your guys' racist tropes. You know, you guys know exactly what you do. I know you're Islamophobic, but you guys got to go deal with it on your own self. You're not going to use me.
Ah, Rashida Tlaib. Always a voice of reason and an absolute pleasure. Speaking of voices of reason, Maxine Waters is very upset that somebody criticized her. Oh my gosh, it was just, they came up to me in a restaurant and criticized me.
Congress with people, you know, who evidently had a racist attitude and recently one even confronted me in a restaurant. And they don't say racist things, but right. What they say is they don't like something I said. They don't like a position that I took. But you know that, you know, if you were not black,
right,
you would not be approached that
right.
way.
Sure, right. No one would ever do that. By the way, I thought approaching people was the thing to do.
So we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
Just... It's amazing how the bigots want to maneuver the rules when they're used against them. I'll have more of this on Tony Katz today.